I am not the candidate of Black America, although I am Black and proud. I am not the candidate of the women's movement of this country, although I am a woman, and I'm equally proud of that.
Before Barack Obama, before Hillary Clinton or Kamala Harris, there was Shirley Chisholm.
I am the candidate of the people of America.
Chisholm spoke these words in 1972 when she became the first Black woman to run for president of the United States. At the time, she was the first and only Black woman in Congress, representing Brooklyn's Bed-Stuy neighborhood.
There are people in our country's history who don't look left or right, they just look straight ahead. And Shirley Chisholm was one of those people.
In 2015, Barack Obama posthumously awarded Chisholm the Presidential Medal of Freedom, recognition of a trailblazing career that went largely underrecognized until recently.
There were so many people who didn't even know her name. So we felt like their story needs to be told. People need to know her name.
That's Oscar-winning actress Regina King. She plays Chisholm in a new Netflix movie simply called Shirley.
I have something I want to tell you. I am running for president.
Of the United States? Holy.
The film is just the latest way that Shirley Chisholm has become an icon of modern politics and progressivism, embodied in her presidential campaign slogan, Unbought and Unbossed.
I mean, she was a forceful personality.
Barbara Ransby, a professor of history and African-American studies at the University of Illinois, spoke to NPR about her legacy.
It's important to talk about what she stood for, and that progressive political tradition, I think, is what a number of women of color who've gone to Congress since her have built upon, you know, being a voice for domestic workers, for women in need of daycare, being a voice for peace, pushing a progressive agenda that has resonated through Black women's organizing efforts in communities and in Congress.
We can see her influence today in people like Harris, or former Georgia gubernatorial candidate Stacey Abrams, and House Democrat Barbara Lee, who have all cited Chisholm as an influence. Here's Lee speaking in 2015.
I know that today many of us, including myself, would not be here. We would not have the privilege to serve in this great body had it not been for Shirley Chisholm.
Consider this. Shirley Chisholm's presidential campaign may have ended in defeat, but her legacy looms larger than ever today through biographies, public monuments, politics, and, of course, movies. Coming up, a conversation with the makers of the new biopic about Chisholm's presidential campaign. From NPR, I'm Scott Detrow.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited 2x miles on every purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
If you've never donated to the NPR network before, that's okay. Public radio is available to everyone for free. But we do rely on listener support from those who are able to give. So join the community of supporters for Public Media Giving Days, coming up on May 1st and 2nd. Please give at donate.npr.org, and thank you.
Every time you drive your car, have a package delivered, or get on a plane, you're polluting the climate. But it doesn't have to be that way.
Nature is powerful. Why don't we use it to our advantage?
Meet the people working on cleaner ways to get around on Here and Now Anytime from NPR and WBUR. Transportation Climate Solutions on Here and Now Anytime, wherever you listen to podcasts.
It's Consider This from NPR. Shirley Chisholm made history in 1968 as the first Black woman ever elected to Congress. 4 years later, the New York representative made history again when she ran for the Democratic presidential nomination, the first woman and the first African-American to do so. A new Netflix movie called Shirley tells her story. Regina King plays Shirley Chisholm, John Ridley directs, and my co-host Elsa Chang spoke to both of them about the film.
Regina, I want to start with you because I read that you and your sister, Raina, who's in the film as Chisholm's sister, that the two of you were trying to get this film made for like 15 years. And it made me think like, gosh, 15 years ago, Chisholm just didn't have the kind of cultural footprint that she has now. Like, I never heard about Shirley Chisholm in school. I didn't find out about her until well into adulthood when I was a reporter on The Hill. Can I ask, how did you first learn about Shirley Chisholm?
Well, actually, it's an interesting story because while Raina and I are sisters, we've always gone to different schools because we're 4 years apart. And during Black History Month, they choose a person each day of February that has made an impact on the world in some way. And I was lucky in my fourth grade year to have a teacher that Shirley Chisholm was part of her curriculum. Mm. And then we, you know, young adults, early 20s, realized that there were so many people who didn't even know her name. So we felt like their story needs to be told. People need to know her name.
Absolutely. Well, I want to talk about Shirley Chisholm's arrival in Washington, D.C. in 1969. Right? First Black woman comes into Congress representing Bed-Stuy, a neighborhood in Brooklyn. Can you just tell us, how did her colleagues receive her? How would you describe the reception?
I'll let you take that, John. I would love to hear John with his podcast voice. Break that down.
Yeah, just set the scene for us, John, you know?
I think it was a complicated arrival. I mean, certainly for Black people, for women, for the burgeoning Congressional Black Caucus, those were all really, really good things. I think where it got complicated was people started to realize that she didn't necessarily want to follow the traditional paths where, you know, you come in and essentially for everybody, you kind of got to wait your turn and it's about seniority. But for junior representatives and certainly a woman and certainly a woman of color, Shirley could look at that path and go, well, this is going to take too long.
She's like, why are you putting me on the Agricultural Committee?
Yeah, the Agricultural Committee was a big deal for her because she was representing Brooklyn and she thought that there were not sufficient things that she could do for the people that elected her. So Shirley wanted to get to work right away, and that became a pattern. She was going to do it in her time at her cadence, and that's when she began to upset the apple cart a bit.
What do you think was harder for Chisholm when she was navigating Washington, racism or misogyny? Because it felt like this movie was making more of a point about how men in Washington treated her, white or Black.
Definitely misogyny.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, you have to realize, when Shirley was running for Congress, this is at a time when women still needed their husbands to sign for a bank account.
Yeah, that's so insane to me now.
It's so just the audacity for a woman to do what she had done.
Use the word audacity, you know, that she had the audacity as a woman to make sure that she was up front and center. You know, she had to basically, it sounds like, train her husband to be the background person in that relationship. She had to convince other men in her life to believe in her. And at one point I read, Regina, that you were struck by how much of a strategist Shirley Chisholm was. What did you mean by that? Like, how would you describe Chisholm's style as a political strategist?
I feel like every move that she made was intentional. There's a part in the film where Shirley's preparing for her announcement to run for president, and you just see the detail in it, from how she's choosing her wigs to what she is planning to say in that announcement.
A meticulous orchestration.
I love that. A meticulous orchestration. Exactly.
You know, also attached to her style was this ability to engage even with people whom she had serious disagreements with, right? Like, it comes out in the way that you depict the dynamic between Chisholm and George Wallace, the former governor of Alabama, who was a segregationist, who also ran against Chisholm for the Democratic nomination for president. I want to play a clip from the movie for you. This is when Wallace is in the hospital after an assassination attempt. And Chisholm pays him a visit, even though her team is like, what are you even doing visiting him?
God is surrounding you. May his light always guide you and keep you safe in his arms. In Jesus' name, amen.
You keep praying for me, Shirley.
always have.
I was kind of blown away watching that scene. I mean, this actually happened. For one, it's crazy to think that Chisholm and George Wallace even belong to the same political party, so maybe you want to explain that piece of it. But why why was it important for you all to include this scene in the movie?
I mean, I'll just say because it was true. I mean, we're in an era where it's just such a political minefield for a politician to have to now cross the aisle and make any kind of a deal. But obviously, back in the day, there were constituents of Shirley's who never in a million years would have accepted her going to see George Wallace. But for Shirley, it was really important that you find commonality and you don't demonize people on the other side. You may disagree. You may think that their political stances are wrong, wrong for people, wrong for the country, but you have to find something in common.
But do you think it was purely transactional, or do you think Chisholm tapped into a moral code that transcended politics?
It's one of those moments where both things are working at the same time. And even with Wallace having some views that don't feel like they align with people of color, there is something within Shirley that she did see, as John said, the commonality.
She could connect with something inside him. Yes.
You know, when you think about that moment happening and then later on down the line that they signed on legislation together that allowed for domestic workers to actually receive minimum wage. And that changed the life of millions of Americans.
Regina King is the star of the new film Shirley, about former U.S. Congresswoman Shirley Chisholm. The film's writer and director is John Ridley. Thank you both so much for sharing this time with us.
Thank you, Elsa.
Thank you very much.
This episode was produced by Mark Rivers and Catherine Fink. It was edited by Jeanette Woods and William Troop. Our executive producer is Sammy Yenigan. And before we go, a word of thanks to the Consider This Plus listeners who support the show. You make it possible for NPR journalists to report the stories you hear on this podcast and on the airwaves. Supporters also hear every episode without messages from sponsors. To learn more, visit plus.npr.org. It's Consider This from NPR. I'm Scott Detrow.
Over the past couple decades, the U.S. has lost about a third of its newspapers, taking thousands of local journalists off their beat. A functioning democracy and functioning local journalism go hand in hand. We're trying to do our part, and that's why we need you to do your part. Make sure that the NPR network stays strong by supporting us at donate.npr.org. And thank you.
The Indicator from Planet Money is a daily podcast that helps you make sense of what's happening in the economy. And video games are a growing slice of that economy, with billions of people around the world identifying as gamers. That's why we're dedicating a week-long series to the growing business of video games. Listen to the Indicator from Planet Money podcast on NPR. The Indicator from Planet Money is all in on video games. Not just because they're a fun hobby. Video games are one of the fastest-growing businesses worldwide, worth more than the film and music industries combined.
We're seeing some games that are really taking, $500 million to make.
We're taking a week-long look at the video game industry. Listen to the Indicator from Planet Money podcast on NPR.